Sometimes we think that we think, ah, oh, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve, I've said that before, right? Like, I work for you, God, come on. I don't deserve this. St. Alphonsus says, you're right. You don't deserve this. What you deserve is to burn in hell for all eternity. He says, all of us, we deserve hell. But instead of hell, God gives us opportunities to grow in holiness. In fact, he says, we deserve, having merited hell for our sins, we should be consoled that God chastises us in this life. You know, if God gives you a little car accident or a leaky roof or something bad happens, he says you should look at that as a pledge that God has a great thing in store for you, heaven. And he's giving you little opportunities to grow in holiness because he has something great in store for you. The next thing he talks about is natural defects. Like, all of us have some kind of natural defects, whether it's poor eyesight or poor memory. Some of us aren't really talented in areas that we wish we were talented in, like singing or painting or whatever the case is. He says, who has ever offered a gift and then lays down the conditions upon which he's going to receive the gift? He says, be grateful for what you have. I notice some of us in this room are getting a little bit older and maybe your health is starting to fail in certain areas. He says, just be grateful for what you have. I hit 50 a year ago, so I'm 51 now. And it's a new thing for me to start realizing, wait a minute, I didn't know I even had that muscle. It's getting a little bit sore. Or little aches and pains. I'm like, wait, I work with young people, so this is all new to me. Like, I feel like I'm 15, 20 years old, but all of a sudden these like weird things are starting to happen. And like, oh, come on, Lord, not that, really? And just to say, Lord, your will be done. Sometimes, this is embarrassing to share with you, but when I'm in the shower, I love to sing, and the acoustics, I think I sound great in the shower. No one else can hear me, and no one else, if I sang for you right now, you would not agree with me. It's not one of my gifts. And I sometimes wish, dang, I wish I was a good singer. Well, who knows? Maybe if I was really gifted in music, maybe I would become prideful and I'd think it was all about me and maybe I would lose my salvation. Have you ever thought of that? That maybe if you had that thing that you wish you had, maybe you would lose your salvation? I have a friend of mine, his name is Brad, and he's given me permission to share his story. Brad and I worked together 20 years ago for Net Ministries. He's legally blind. So he could read, but he has to hold things up like this, and he has to have like this huge font. And one time I said, Brad, I believe God still does miraculous healings. You believe God still does miraculous healings. Why don't we get some people together and pray for your eyesight? Maybe God will heal you. He said, no, Dave, never. I thank God I can't see. He said, Dave, and this is 20 years ago, so you can imagine it's worse now. Dave, do you know how many people are addicted to pornography? How many men lust after women? He goes, I can't even look at pornography, even if I wanted to. If I got that close to a computer screen, all I see is these pixels. He goes, Dave, when a woman walks by, I can't look at her butt like so many men do. I can't. He goes, who knows? Maybe if I had perfect vision, maybe that would lead to my damnation. Maybe I would become addicted to pornography. Maybe I would, you know, fall into lust. He goes, I thank God I can't see. What a perspective. How often do we thank God for those gifts that we don't have? Because God knows exactly what we need and what wouldn't be good for us. I know my dad played the lottery every week. We were a lower middle class, factory, immigrant family, and he paid $5 a week on the lotto, you know, five tickets, hoping for that big win. He never won. But it's like, what if we did? You read these stories of like people that they go into depression, they lose their marriage, their life falls apart. When was the last time we thanked God? God, I thank you that I'm not rich. For those of you that are rich, thank him that you haven't fallen into sin because of your richness. Whatever your situation is, thank God for what you don't have. Because if it was going to help you, God would give it to you. The next thing he talks about sickness. Alphonsus teaches us that when we're sick, we should willingly embrace the type of our sickness, like what kind of sickness we have, and how long it lasts. Now, this is fantastic because this was written back in the 1700s, right? It's amazing his perspective on this. Do you remember, maybe 10 years ago, don't quote me on the date, but there was a big case, like it made national news. This young child was sick with cancer, and the child's parents didn't want to take the child to the doctor because they thought, if God wants to heal my child, God will heal my child. And the courts got involved, and the courts made the parents. Do you remember that story? Well, St. Alphonsus says that we're not to be those types of Christians. St. Alphonsus' perspective and the Catholic perspective is that God gave us doctors and medicines. So we should go to the doctor when we're sick. We should take our medicine when we're sick. And the way he says it is, make use of normal remedies that are available. But if those things don't work, then be resigned to God's will. So God, I'm going to take advantage. You gave that doctor some good brains and that pharmacist some good medicines. I'm going to take advantage of that. I'm not going to sit here and say, God, if you want to heal me, you'll heal me. That's not the Catholic approach. Because God, we're the body of Christ. We're supposed to help one another. And that includes doctors and farmers and medicines. But if they don't work, then be resigned to God's will. He said, when our suffering is excessive, if you're really, really, really suffering, it's okay to let your friends and family know that you're suffering. It's even okay to say, God, please take this away from me. We have Jesus' example in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was suffering. And he said, God, if it's your will, please take this cup away. I don't want this. But make sure you follow his example and you add, but not my will, your will be done. He says, when our suffering is excessive, it's not wrong to ask God to take it away. But he says, make sure that your suffering really is excessive. Sometimes we think, the whole world should stop spinning because I have a little runny nose. Or, I'm feeling some aches and pains. Oh, God, help me. My grandfather was like that. He's from Sicily. I just remember, I loved him dearly, but he would, And I would say, Grandpa, how you doing today? Oh, not good, not good. I mean, for the last 20 years of his life, he was in constant pain, but it wasn't, I don't know exactly what he was feeling, but he wanted to make sure the whole world knew he was in pain. He says, sometimes, and this, those of you that have kids that are you're still responsible for or parents that you're responsible for, this next part is for you. He says, sometimes we come up with very childish excuses why we don't want to be sick. He says, oh, God, I can't be sick now. I got to cook for my family. I got to take care of my husband. I got to take care of my wife. Father's relying on me. I got to go do this. Oh, God, please don't make me sick now. I'm in charge of the fall festival, or I'm in charge of the fundraiser. Wait a minute. Doesn't God know that you're in charge of the fall festival? Doesn't God know that you have a sick husband that you're taking care of? If God allows us to be sick, he allows us to be sick. He says, Alphonsus says, don't try those childish excuses. God knows what you need. And this is one area, the only one so far, but the one area that I've seen growth in my own life. So as a speaker, what I'm doing tonight, I would do it for free if I didn't need to feed my family. But I do need to feed my family, and it's cool that I can feed my family and share the gospel. So this is how I feed my family. Well, 10 years ago, when I would get sick every once in a while, like at least once a winter, I would lose my voice. And for the first couple years, I would get so nervous. Like, oh no. Like, what if I had to call Father and say, Father, sorry, I can't come to Fargo. I just lost my voice. And I would get stressed. Like, number one, what's going to happen to my reputation? I mean, I've been working with Chris Stefan for the last, several months to come here. What if I called her 2 days ago and had to cancel? Oh no, my reputation, no one's ever gonna invite me. And then we're not gonna get paid, my poor kids are gonna starve. And I would just go through this whole litany of complaining. And then after giving this presentation a number of times, I started realizing, wait a minute, God knows my schedule. He knows I'm scheduled to go to Fargo. If he allows me to lose my voice and I don't go to Fargo, I'm guessing God can still provide for the church. I'm not the Messiah. That job's already taken. And God's still going to feed my family. And over the last, I don't know, 10 years, I realized, wait a minute, God's will be done. And now, you guys, it works. Every once in a while, I lose my voice and my wife has to call the place. Maybe like once a year, it calls, hey, my husband can't come. And it's not that I'm being flippant about it, like, oh, well, who cares? It still bugs me. I wish I could be there. But it doesn't stress me out because I'm not the Messiah. That job's taken. And what beautiful, beautiful peace that surpasses all understanding. So if you're stressed, like, oh, I can't get sick now. I gotta do this. I gotta do that. I gotta take care of this. God knows what you need. But some of you might be thinking, oh, that sounds good, but I don't want to get sick. I don't want to be a burden to my family. Some of you are getting a little bit older, and you're thinking, oh, no, I don't want to have to go live with my daughter and son-in-law, and I'm going to be a burden to them. Well, let's just be honest. If and when that happens, you will be a burden to your family. Is that a bad thing? No. Your burdenness could be exactly what God wants for your son or your daughter to help them grow in holiness. You having to move in with your son-in-law and daughter, or vice versa, might be the greatest gift of their life because now, instead of focusing on themselves, they have an opportunity to serve you. What a gift. Some of us think, oh, I want to give my kids a gift, meaning financial gift when I die. Give them you. Even if it means you in sickness. What a gift, an opportunity for your family to serve Jesus. It's a corporal work of mercy. When you take care of the sick, you're meriting great things. What a gift you can be to your family. So none of these childish excuses, oh, I don't want to be a burden to my family. Why not? It's a gift for your family. Another area, and if you wonder if I ever stop talking, I do, and I will in just a couple minutes. But he talks about spiritual desolation. So he started with the external things, like the bad weather, but then slowly he's getting to the inside, and he says, if you pray every day, and your prayer is just dry, if it seems like nothing is happening, like you're praying and all you hear are crickets, you don't hear God's voice, he says, that's a time to practice uniformity with God's will. He says, some of the greatest saints have experienced wonderful experiences of God. Like St. Teresa of Avila. If you've ever seen there's a picture of her, of the statue. There's a statue of her. She's in ecstasy. It's like this incredible, I mean, she's experiencing something like out of this world. The highest mansions of the spiritual realm, right? St. Teresa of Avila would say, that's the exception. That's not the norm. Every saint, even the saints like Padre Pio that had the stigmata, or St. Francis that experienced the same thing, these saints that had amazing things happen to them, those were rare. Most of the time, or often, they would experience these dry times in their life. Remember when Mother Teresa died? Her journal came out. Do you remember this? It was like 20 years ago. Mother Teresa's journal, and it got published. Somehow people got to look at it. And it says in Mother Teresa's journal that for over 10 years, she didn't experience God's presence. And the secular press, they were like, oh, you see that? Mother Teresa was a fraud. She didn't experience God for all these years. She was a faker. No. Mother Teresa, she knew the love of God. But she didn't feel the ooh-ah feelings that sometimes you know, if you go on a marriage retreat or you go on a special evening of reflection where there's great prayer and sometimes you can feel God. Well, Mother Teresa didn't feel God for many years. But it wasn't about the feeling. It's about the relationship. I know when I started dating my wife, you start getting goosebumps. You hold hands for the first time. And you're like, ooh, remember that? The first time you hold hands, like, oh my goodness, I'm in heaven right now. Well, you know, 20 years later, now we wake up and it's like morning breath. I'm just guessing my wife does not get goosebumps when I say, good morning, hon. Right? But it's not about the ooh-ah goosebumps. It's about the committed relationship. Mother Teresa loved Jesus, whether she felt ooh-ah or not. So if you've been praying for years and you don't experience amazing things in your prayer time, great. Saint John of the Cross used to say, I think it was John of the Cross, hold on. No, I'm sorry, Saint Francis de Sales, if we don't do anything else in prayer but banish distractions, that's good prayer made. Like if you're sitting down to pray and you're like, oh, I gotta go grocery shopping. Ooh, don't think about that, I'm praying. Oh, I forgot to get gas in the car. Ooh, don't think about that. If all you do in prayer is try to get rid of distractions, he said, way to go. I mean, that's not the goal of prayer. But if that's what happens, he says, at least you're there. Just being with the Lord. Father John Towler, the guy that met the beggar, he wrote, persevering prayer in time of dryness receives greater grace than prayer made in sensible devotion. Let me translate that into English. If you go to prayer and you experience all these amazing feelings of God, there's no merit involved in that. That's all pure gift. Like, thank God for it when it happens. Thank God. But it's much better for us if you're not feeling anything and you're like, God, I'm going to be here with you. I'm coming to Mass. I'm doing my prayer, even if I don't feel anything, because I love you. He said, that's what makes saints saints. And the last thing he talks about is temptations. He said, when we're experiencing temptations, any kind of temptations, whether you're tempted to give up your faith, tempted against purity, or any other virtue, we should get rid of the whining and complaining and be resolved to God's will. There's one passage in Scripture where St. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, he talks about he had this thorn in his side. And he said, 3 times I asked the Lord to get rid of this thorn in my side, but God just said, my grace is sufficient for you. What's funny is biblical scholars, they try to figure out, what was St. Paul's thorn? And there's all different theories. Some guy said, well, it's probably, maybe he had an eye problem because somewhere else in one of his letters he says, I know you would give me your own eyes if you could. Other biblical scholars say, maybe it was sexual temptation. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter. If St. Paul wanted us to know, he would have told us. What's important is that something was bugging him. Maybe it was a temptation. St. Alphonsus tends to think it was probably some sort of spiritual struggle. And he said, Lord, take it away, take it away, take it away. And finally the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient. Sometimes if you find yourself struggling with the same sin over and over, maybe it's jealousy or anger, whatever it is, if it's that one thing that keeps you on your knees saying, God, please help me, maybe God allows us to have those temptations to keep us on our knees. And Alphonsus points out a reminder that it's when we give in to temptation that we're sinning. The temptation itself isn't a sin. So if God allows you to be tempted and you're thinking, oh, dang, I've been going to the same confession, I've been confessing the same sin over and over, well, keep fighting the good fight, Alphonsus would say. And finally, he recommends that we don't daydream. Some people think, ah, oh, well, all this stuff sounds good, right? This is sounded good. This was good stuff. But maybe if I became a priest, then I would have more time to pray. But right now, I'm too busy. Or if I was in better health, then I could really unite myself to God's will because I'd feel better. Or if our investments did well, I could spend more time at the church. Or if my daughter would come visit more, then I'd have more time because she could help clean and I could become a saint. And he says, if, all these ifs, you go from bad to worse. All these ifs are temptation from the devil. Because if God wanted you to be in those situations, that's where you would be. If we're going to become saints, it's going to be because we're here right now. For me, it means being married with 3 teenage boys. For some of you, it means being retired. Some of you, it means wherever your state in life is, whether you're a priest, whether you're a lay person, a grandma, a grandpa, if we're going to become saints, this is what we have. All the ifs are temptations from the devil because that's not the reality. And the last thing I know this is my third last thing, but this is the really the last thing. St. Alphonsus says, when you pray the Our Father, he says, make a notable pause when you come to that phrase, thy will be done. He says, just pause and say, yes, Lord, I really mean it. Now, don't do that at Mass when we're praying the Our Father, because we're trying to do that all together. And if you stop for 10 seconds, that drives people nuts when you're like a half a line behind everyone. But if you're praying on your own, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, just pause and say, I mean it, Lord. On earth as it is in heaven, just pause and realize, yes, Lord, I really want your will to be done. Let's just say a short prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, so often we pray the Our Father, the prayer that you, Jesus, you taught us. I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds of times we've said those words, thy will be done. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you help us to really mean it. Help us not only to conform to your will, but to unite ourselves to your will. Help us not to complain when the weather doesn't suit our needs or our desires. Help us not to complain when things go wrong, when our plumbing blows up or our car gets smashed, when we're sick, or when we're not experiencing anything happening in prayer, when things don't go our way. Help us to say, thank you, Jesus, blessed be God, so that we could receive that peace that surpasses all understanding. I want to invite all of us just to pick one, maybe one area that you need to surrender to God's will. Maybe there's one area that you've been fighting God or wrestling with God. And maybe tonight you can just offer that to him and say, God, I want to unite myself to your will in this area. And Lord, when things don't seem to be going our way, help us to remember that your grace is sufficient, that your grace is enough, that no matter what we go through, all things work for good for those who love you. Father, if you could take the crucifixion of your son Jesus, the worst event of human history, and make it the most one absolute beautiful event of human history, then you can certainly turn around any of our situations. Help us to trust in you, Jesus. And we pray this, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come back tomorrow or last night. We're going to talk about how do we share the gospel with our neighbors, our family, and our friends. And it's not optional. If we're going to become saints, we have to share the gospel. So stay tuned for tomorrow night. Thank you.
And talk about the presentation.